And so it says here, I will put enmity, this is the punishment for the serpent in verse 15, besides him crawling on the ground and eating dust. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, this is, of course, a very significant verse, because this is the first inference in the Bible of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as far as actually there being some kind of a plan of salvation or redemption. Now, this shouldn't surprise us, because in chapters 1 and 2, there's no sin. So in chapter 3, the first sin takes place, and right after the first sin takes place, what do we have? God right away, immediately, has a plan to fix it. He has a plan to redeem fallen mankind immediately. Before he even gives the punishment to the woman and the man, he's already talking about their redemption, even when he talks to the serpent. Because he says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You say, what does this have to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, we know that Jesus Christ is the seed of the woman. He's called the seed of the woman. The Bible says in Galatians 4 that Jesus Christ was made of a woman. He was the seed of the woman. He's made of a woman. And Jesus Christ is the, that's why he's called the Son of Man, because he is human. Jesus Christ was born of Mary, and he's human, and he's of her seed. You know, recently, a complete idiot, false prophet, got up and preached to his congregation and said, well, you know, Eve had nothing to do with that body of baby Jesus growing in her womb. You know, basically, God just placed the whole baby there. And, you know, he said, you know, that, you know, Jesus is the bread, came down from heaven, and Mary is just the oven. Mary's just the oven. Yeah, I missed that verse when I was reading John chapter 6, where he said, you know, I'm the bread of life that came down from heaven, and Mary was the oven. This is garbage because of the fact that the Bible explicitly tells us that Jesus is the seed of the woman. He's made of the woman. What does that mean, made of a woman? Made from a woman. Because his physical body came partially from that woman. That's why he's the seed of David. Seed of the woman. You see, people might think, oh, that's because Joseph is descended from David. Oh, no. Because Joseph is not Jesus' biological father. He knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Jesus is the biological son of Mary. Hello, is anybody home? I mean, that's like Christianity 101, that Jesus is the biological son of Mary. He is the seed of the woman. He's made of the woman. Jesus is born of Mary biologically. That's why the Bible says, that's why it says Joseph and his mother in Luke 2:33, Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken of him. You know why? Because that's his actual mother. That's his actual mom biologically, whereas Joseph is like a step-parent. So it'll sometimes refer to them both as the parents of Jesus, but it doesn't call Joseph the father of Jesus. It calls her the mother of Jesus. He is the son of David, not on Joseph's side, but the genealogy of Mary is given in Luke chapter 3, and Mary also descends from David. And so Jesus is the son of David through Mary. He is human because he's the son of Mary, and he is God because he's the son of God. So he's the son of God, and he's the son of man, right? Folks, there's a reason why God is called God the Father. You know why God's called God the Father? Because Jesus is the Son of God. Okay? Now, we also believe that Jesus is divine. Jesus is deity as well. Because there's one God, but that God eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And so we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Ghost is God. And it's one God. This is called the Trinity. Okay, so to say that Mary didn't actually provide the egg, or that Mary did not actually provide any, you know, biological matter here, that's basically denying that Jesus is the Son of Man. And it's basically denying that he's the seed of the woman. It's denying that he's the seed of David. And it makes Genesis 3:15 of no effect. If God just fashions this body out of nowhere, like he made Adam from scratch. If he just made Jesus from scratch and then just implanted him into Mary, that's not a fulfillment of this. No, it's the seed of the woman. Jesus Christ, the actual seed of the woman. So we know who the seed of the woman is. The seed of the woman being referred to is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what about the seed of the serpent? Well, the Bible talks about, in the parable of the tares among the wheat, he talks about how there's the wheat growing and the tares have been sown by the wicked one. And the Bible says the tares are the children of the wicked one, right? And in the end times, the children of the wicked one are going to be gathered together and they're going to be burned and destroyed and so forth. So the Bible talks about people who are not just unsaved, but people who actually become a reprobate. The Bible calls them sons of the devil, sons of Belial, right? Certain men in the Old Testament will be referred to as children of Belial, sons of Belial, Baal, Bel, Beelzebub. It's talking about Satan. And so these sons of the devil are going to be at enmity with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And we're in Christ. So that's why there's an enmity between God's people and reprobates. Now, we're not at strife or at hatred with all unsaved people, because unsaved people are not our enemies. You know, we love them. We want to reach them with the gospel. But there are certain haters of God that are just at enmity with us, no matter what we say or do. They're going to be at enmity with us, because there's that enmity between the seed of the woman and between the seed of the serpent. The seed of the woman specifically referring to Jesus prophetically. Now, you could also take another interpretation of this that is another layer of meaning, because the Bible is very deep. There are a lot of meanings here. You could just say that basically that the devil and his children are also just enemies of humanity in general. You know, because obviously we know Jesus is the seed of the woman. You could also just take the seed of the woman as just human beings in general. Right? Whoever the woman gives birth to is also the seed of the woman. That could be Cain, Abel, Seth, Noah, you know, and the whole human race. You know, the devil is our enemy as Christians, but even if we're not Christians, the devil would still be our enemy. People out there that are unsaved, I don't care if they're agnostic, Buddhist, Hindu, the devil's their enemy. They might think the devil's their friend. The devil is their enemy. The devil hates them. The devil's out to destroy them too. And so he doesn't love them. There's an enmity between Satan and humanity, and there's an enmity between Satan and Jesus, right? And because Jesus is the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head. So the seed of the woman is going to bruise the serpent's head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So the serpent is going to bruise Jesus's heel. Now, what would you rather have bruised or crushed or harmed, your head or your heel? You know, Jesus basically, you know, stomps the serpent, and in the process, he hurts his foot a little bit. You know, you could think of it that way, okay? Because obviously, did Satan harm Jesus? Obviously, you know, Jesus in his life, he went through physical pain and suffering and temptations, some of which were brought on by the devil. And of course, you know, Jesus crucified by whom? The sons of the devil. Because Jesus looked at those Pharisees and said, "You are of your father, the devil. You do the works of your father," and that's who crucified Jesus. So in that sense, yeah, okay, that's a harm that comes to Jesus, the bruising of his heel. But that's minor compared to the fact that Jesus completely crushes, dominates, destroys, and wipes out the serpent. And of course, there's a famous hymn that's based on Genesis 3:15, which is the song, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," right? You know, we sing that around Christmas time, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." And it says, "Rise the woman's conquering seed," right? Rise the woman's conquering seed, bruise in us the serpent's head, right? So, you know, you see this coming through in hymns and sermons and preaching where they would point to this as the first reference to the Messiah that's coming. You know, Jesus Christ is coming. The Savior is going to come and bruise the serpent's head. And also, you know, the Bible says of Christians in the New Testament that the Lord will, I might quote this wrong, but the Lord's going to, you know, crush Satan under your feet shortly or something along those lines, it says at the end of one of Paul's epistles.